topic that we're studying together today, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, as Rav Asher just said, has many millions of ramifications for our lives. And there's a certain level of a dichotomy in terms of the two approaches that I would like to discuss in terms of our connection with the non-Jewish world. It is well known, you don't need me to say this, it's known to every, even most elementary level student of Torah, that we have the highest regard for all of humanity. If anyone, thank you. What about all the, they're also thirsty, obviously. You can pass it around, you know. So. What about Matil Kinav and Masay Breshit, you know what I mean? So we learn in Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Akiva teaches, Haviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Every single person is beloved. Yitzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam and Hava were not Jewish. Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Et HaAdam, not just Am Yisrael, every single person, qua person, basher hu, basher hi, chaviv adam. We are supposed to understand how beloved, how special, how unique, how singular each individual is in the world. And the Gemara teaches in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara speaks about why, the Mishnah speaks, as to why when God created the world, did God create only one man and one woman? It seems that other forms of creation of the animal world, many animals were created. Many beasts were created, many birds were created, many fish were created. And in the human species, just one. Asks the Mishnah, why? When God said, Na'aseh Adam, so there should be people. Hundreds, thousands, tens of hundreds of billions. Why only Adam and Hava? And one of the answers of the Mishnah is, L'fichach nivra ha'adam yehidi. Human beings were created individually, just one man and one woman, to teach you that every single man and every single woman is a whole world, not just historically. Not just thousands of years ago, when Hashem created the world, Adam and Chava constitute the entirety of the creation. Says the Mishnah, Lamedcha, Shekol ha'me'abed nefesh ahat. Now there are different girsaot in the Mishnah. There are different variant readings on how to understand that Mishnah. In some versions of the Mishnah it says, Kol ha'me'abed nefesh ahat. Mi Yisrael, and some versions say Kol Ma'abed Nefesh Achat. The reason why I'm preferring today's study to quote the Girsaot without the word Mi Yisrael, if the proof text, according to certain Mefarashim, if the proof text is Adam and Hava, so this doesn't prove Kol Ma'abed Nefesh Achat Mi Yisrael, because Adam and Hava not Mi Yisrael. So I'm reading it the way we read in certain Girsaot. L'fichach nivra ha'adam yechidi. Every single person that you encounter in this world, including the non-Jewish world, L'fichach nivra ha'adam yechidi l'lamedcha shekol ha'ma'abed nefesh achat. If someone, God forbid, destroys one person, one human being, ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu ibeid olam alei. Destroying one person is the equivalent of destroying a whole world. God taught that lesson to all of us because at the beginning of creation, there's only one man, there's only one woman. That one man is the whole world. That one woman, Chava, is the whole world. Adam is the whole world. And every single person that you will meet, every single person that you will encounter is a whole world. The reason why they are created with a unique personality, there are no Kishem Shein Partsufehen Domin. You know, no two people alike. No two people sound alike. No two people think alike. Every person has a unique status. Everybody is different. There are no clones in this world. Why? Because every person is an entire world. There's no one else like them. And Chas V'Shalom, if you remove one person from this world, so you're destroying the whole world, because we don't have another world where that person can exist. We need that person to continue our existence. V'chol ha-mekayem nefesh achat. And if you sustain one person, if you help one person to stay alive, you support one person, you encourage one person, you give life and vitality to one person, ki'ilu kiyem olam alei, that's the whole world, because that person, she's the whole world, he's the whole world. That's the entirety of everything. So my friends, many of us here sitting in the Beit Midrash today are considering programs this summer in the work field called Torah She'eini Mamalacha. Many people are going to work in many offices. Many people are considering taking the messages of Eretz Yisrael and spreading it all throughout the world, including non-Jewish universities. I'm not here to recommend. There are great rabbis here who could recommend programs which are of religious nature, of Jewish nature, the great universities and colleges connected to Torah study. But those people who feel it's their mission to go out and to be the Or La'amim, they have to share their knowledge with the non-Jewish world. I would like you to listen carefully to the fact that we do respect, regard, revere the entire world. And anyone who argues differently, I think the burden of proof is upon him or upon her, because that's not what our sources reflect. Our sources do reflect a tremendous level of derech eretz for every single person. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, in Masechet Nedarim, Tet, Dalit, Perek Tet, Mishnah Dalit, in Nedarim, the Yerushalmi discusses the Klal Gadol Batorah. What is the most important sentence? What's the most all-encompassing sentence of the Torah? And of course, the most famous response is the famous response of Rabbi Akiva, that some of us know, or all of us know. Some of us know it from the study of Yerushalmi. Some of us know it because maybe someone once wrote music to this teaching. What's the most important teaching in the Torah? So Rabbi Akiva says, "V'avtal riacha kamocha." Rabbi Akiva omers a klal gadol b'Torah. Ben Azai disagrees. Shimon ben Azai. Ben Azai says, no, there's a greater klal in the Torah. And he quotes a sentence which seems to us to be rather obscure. And he says, Zeh Sefer Toledot Adam. In Sefer Bereshit. Zeh Sefer Toledot Adam. Biyom Bro Elokim Adam. Bidmut Elokim Asauto. Zeh Klal Gadol Mizeh. Ben Azai says there's a greater all-encompassing rule, more than Va'avtal Riacha Kamocha. And he quotes the sentence about, this is the book of the happenings of the history of humanity. On the day that God created people in the image of God. And there are many ways of understanding the Yerushalmi. Amongst them is that maybe Rabbi Akiva is speaking about how important it is Va'avtal Riacha Kamocha. Maybe within the community, to recognize a halavai, we should be able to do that. If you're ever interested in an immediate level of, let's say, 14 million instant mitzvot, if you want to just say sometime, you're looking at it's many mitzvot at once. You know, just I love each and every fellow Jew or Jewess, and I'm fulfilling the mitzvah v'haftal riacha kamocha. Perhaps if there's an individual mitzvah to love each one, so you could walk around every day. Tens and tens of millions of mitzvot. I love every one of Am Yisrael. You willing to do that mitzvah now, just for 1 second? Yes or no? Yeah. So just say you love every single Jew wherever they are. Say it. What are you saying? Avtal Riacha Kamocha. 14 million mitzvot. Yes. How do you feel? So Ben Azai says, yeah, that's very nice. But Avtal Riacha Kamocha, but maybe there's a higher level. What about the rest of the world? What do we have, 7 billion, Baruch Hashem? How many people in the world? What? More than 7 billion, yes? 7 billion people. What about the rest of humanity? What do we have to do with them? So he says, no, the other pasuk is a klal gadol, vizeh. Zeh sefer toldot Adam. To recognize that all people are created in the image of Hashem. And one of the approaches that we have to keep in mind when we encounter the non-Jewish world is we are encountering Tzelem Elokim. And our role as trying to be teachers of the world, V'atem Tiyuli Mamlechet Kohanim, we just read recently on Shavuot, in Parashat Yitro, Perek Yutet, we read about V'hitem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. According to one interpretation, the Sfirno discusses it a little bit, other Mefarshim speak about it at greater length. V'hitem li segula mikol ha'amim, I want you to be the chosen ones from all the nations, ki li kol ha'aretz. So what does ki li kol ha'aretz have to do with segula mikol ha'amim? According to some, I love the whole world, I'm interested in kol ha'aretz. How do I get to kol ha'aretz? You will be the conduit. You will be the Kohanim. You will be the teachers who will bring the message of Hashem to the whole world. Yeshayahu speaks in the 61st chapter of Yeshayahu, Samach Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Vatem Kohanei Hashem! Tikareu. You're the Kohanim of Hashem, the whole Am Yisrael! Kohanim! We're all Kohanim. So if we have to be the Kohanim, and we have to be the teachers of the world, you can't be the teachers of the world if you have nothing to do with them. How can you teach anyone? Has you ever heard of a teacher who has nothing to do with his students? If you're supposed to be the Kohanim, so of course you have to have some kind of contact with the non-Jewish world. Of course you have to have some kind of feeling. What do you think of a teacher who doesn't love their students? How can it be? What kind of teacher is that? Imagine a teacher walks in and has no feeling for the people that they're teaching. So if we have to be Kohanei Hashem, so we have to be somehow connected to the needs and the struggles and the issues of the world. And in the halachic literature, there are many teachings about tzedakah, mefarnesim aniyei akum, im aniyei Yisrael, mipnei darkei shalom. And the question is, what does darkei shalom mean? Is there a difference between darkei shalom, you have to support the non-Jewish poor together with the Jewish poor? Darkei shalom, does darkei shalom mean eva? Is it the same thing? Is it a synonym for eva? We're worried that if we don't support them, then maybe there'll be, God forbid, enmity, there'll be friction between the communities. Or does Darkei Shalom mean, I believe it's Rabbi Wurzberger once wrote an article on this, Darkei Shalom, he wanted to quote sources, that Darkei Shalom means, no, that's the Derech of Hashem. Nefarnesim Aniyei Akum. We care about Aniyei Akum. And one way of reading the story of Yonah runs away, and according to one school of thought, Yonah says, I'm not interested in being a Navi to non-Jews. Don't send me to Ashur. Don't send me to Nineveh. Send me to the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow teaches Yonah. And through Yonah means teaching us, each of us, Va'ani lo achus al Nineveh. Do you think I don't care about Nineveh? You think I don't care about the people of Ashur? Now, the people of Ashur were the opposite of righteous. The people of Ashur ultimately, according to one school, so that's why Yonah was so troubled, prophetically understood these are going to be the people destroying most of the Jewish community. The Aseret HaShevatim, the Galut of Sanherib, Melech Ashur. Nineveh is the capital of Ashur. I don't want to go to Ashur. I want to go to a community of Am Yisrael. V'ani lo achus al Nineveh, ira gedola asher yesh ba harbe mishnei mesrei ribo adam. You know how large Nineveh was. So, I want to go to a Jewish place. Says Yonah, and Hashem says, no, I'm interested in Am Yisrael also connecting to the non-Jewish world. The only problem is that if this would be the end of my discussion, so it's pretty easy. We love the whole world, we connect to the whole world, and we're part of the world. The issue is that there are certain points where we separate from the world. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke, about how when we go to Har HaMoriah, in the story of the Akedah, he said, in the story of the binding of Isaac, everybody knows it, many of us say it every day, in the story of Akedah Yitzchak, Avraham and Yitzchak do not ascend, do not go on that journey all by themselves. Vayikach et shnei ne'arav. You know, there are other people there with Avraham and Yitzchak. Maybe Eliezer, maybe Yishmael, says Rav Soloveitchik, homiletically. He says, when we ascend together. We're all journeying ultimately towards Har HaMoriah. But there comes a certain point where we have to separate. Shvulachem po, v'hani v'anar nilcha ad ko, v'nishtahaveh, v'nashuv alichem. We have to take care of certain religious matters. We cannot necessarily do everything together. We have to separate temporarily, Mary, and then we'll come back to you. But we're also interested in you. One of the biggest tragedies of the Jewish nation today, you don't need me to say it, you all know, one of the biggest issues that we're dealing with, Bezrat Hashem, it should be turned around today. One of the most troubling issues is the issue of intermarriage. One of the most troubling issues that Am Yisrael is struggling with is that most of the Jewish people do not marry Jews. Bezrat Hashem, that's only in the past. And maybe as a result of our study today, there'll be a major change, I hope. Maybe you can impact that change. So how does that happen? How does that happen? It happens because Jews are not necessarily raised as Jews, because Jews are not necessarily exposed to Jewish consciousness. That's true. And I hope it's not Lashon Hara, and I hope it's not hurting you to say, but you know, there are even people who came from backgrounds, who studied in yeshivot, who also ended up marrying out of the Jewish people. How does that happen? How does it happen? And one of the issues seems to be that when you have such a high regard for the non-Jewish world, there's a certain danger. Because if the non-Jew is so beloved, if the non-Jew is so holy and sacred as a result of the creation of Yitzir Kapav, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I'm sitting next to someone in college, if I'm pursuing a degree together with someone in university, and she happens to be very sensitive, and she happens to be very attractive, and she happens to be very ethical, and she happens to be very spiritual, sometimes no matter what I learned, sometimes no matter what I was trained, sometimes no matter what I feel in my gut, it all breaks down. And some of the greatest people in the world, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin which always fascinates me. And the Gemara is in the Daf Pei Aleph, if you want to read it. The Gemara tells about two of the most outstanding Tanaim in our history. Two of the greatest Tanaim, if I can give grades, I'm not one to do so. It's arrogant to speak like that. However, if I had to choose two of the most outstanding personalities in the Tannaitic period, undoubtedly I would choose these two. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Meir and another story about Rabbi Akiva. And let me read it to you, maybe in translation to save time. It says that Rabbi Meir mocked. Rabbi Meir hava mitlotseitz ba'ovrei avira. Rabbi Meir scoffed. He looked down upon it. The word late, right? Lotzeitz. He laughed at the idea that people give in to their temptations, maybe specifically sexual temptations. Rashi says in Kiddushin, Mitlotzeitz ba'avera, Omer, he thought, that's what they did. They fell into sin. How did they fall into such temptation? It's so easy. It's so easy to stand up against such temptation. Now, I don't know if you're allowed to read this. It's in the Gemara, so I guess it's painful for me to read these stories, but I'm doing this, I hope, for the purpose of sharing. These are two of the most outstanding Rabbanim that we know in our history. Rabbi Meir have Amit Lotzeitz Bovri Avira. Rabbi Meir made fun of the people who fell into sin. And there were some people who they hear about, they have a cousin, God forbid, you know, who went to college and was involved with a certain girl there and started dating and ended up married. Oh, please, you know, it's nothing to do with me. They heard about a certain woman who was in a certain workplace and had started having a friendship, which developed later into a relationship. The Gemara says that Rabbi Meir himself was then tempted. The language of the Gemara is that the Satan, whatever that means, you can have a great, great Rabbanim here who could translate these concepts. Yom Ahad Idamele Satan Ki Itita. One day the Satan, one day the force trying to teach Rabbi Meir to be a little bit more sensitive appeared as a very beautiful woman. And appeared as such a beautiful woman, but not in a place where he just had easy access. She was all the way on the other side, all the way on the other side of the ocean, all the way on the other side of the river. And there was no boat and there was no ferry. And Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says how he tied ropes together to cross over from one side of the river to the other side of the river, to run, to try to sin, God forbid, with this woman. And then miraculously, you know, something happens in the middle of the water, and somehow from heaven he's saved. He's a haru b'Rabbi Meir b'Torato. It was a special zechut that he had. Rabbi Meir's actions, Rabbi Meir's Torah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva hava mitlotzeitz b'ovrei avira. Do you hear this? Rabbi Akiva laughed. Rabbi Akiva mocked the concept of ovrei avira. You can't mock people who fall. The temptation is really great. And if you don't stand up in advance and make certain kinds of red lines in your mind, that despite the fact that people could be on a very high level in terms of the levels of creation, that one has to be extremely, extremely careful. Rabbi Akiva, Havamet Lotzeitz Bovrei Avira, and this woman appears on the top of a palm tree, a dekel. And you know how hard it is to climb a palm tree? You know how difficult it is? Very tall, narrow tree. And Rabbi Akiva starts climbing up. Rabbi Akiva! To get to this woman. Until Baruch Hashem, he's saved. He's a haru. Rabbi Akiva v'torato. There's some kind of heavenly protection. So when we go to college, when we go to university, when we're working in the city, especially when you're working in the city during the summer, but it's not just during the summer. It's all year. During the summer, there's a certain kind of issue of different types of modes of dress. Certain people long to get closer to the levels of Adam and Hava, Kodem Achet, in Gan Eden. And certain people work in certain places. The Gemara says that God announces every day. The Gemara says in Pesachim, that God announces every day the greatness, the pain of a bachelor who lives in a city and who's able to control himself against sin. So, you know, no one is above this. We have a rule, Ein Apotropos La'arayot. In matters dealing between men and women, in matters dealing with certain levels of lure, of temptation, Ein Apotropos La'arayot. The Gemara says that in several places, in Ketuvot, in Holin. And the Yerushalmi says, in Ketuvot, Afilu Chasid Shebahasidin, even the most pious of pious, the holiest of holiest. Ein memanim oto apotropos la'arayot. Because we know that it's so difficult. So I know cases, and I hope it's okay to share them. I'm not doing this to, God forbid, bring sadness to your life. I'm just trying to share this because I really believe this to be the truth, that you really have to prepare for this. I know a case of someone who sat next to someone in college. She comes from a very religious family, and he had a Jewish name. He had a Jewish name because his father was Jewish and his mother was not. And so I guess some of her defense mechanisms were let down because he has a Jewish name. And they became friends. And ultimately this girl who graduated with a very, very religious institute of a very religious high school, ultimately they got married. I was in New York at the time. Somebody called me and asked me if I can go. They had a child together. It was a baby boy. And her family didn't want to go to the Brit. So one of them asked me if I would go. It was such a painful experience for me. I went. It was December time, and the circumcision was at the Brit was in the home of the paternal grandparents. No, the maternal grandparents. All the rooms with Christmas trees and with crosses. And the mohel was there and I was there. Son, Baruch Hashem, was circumcised. I'll be dead. But it was so painful. And if you would ask her, do you think there's ever a possibility? Let's say in high school. Right, let's say in her high school, when she was in 11th grade or 12th grade, you'd say, is it even Baba Hashbon? Is it? Can you see it even as a remote possibility? Absolutely not. No way. But once there's a breakdown of a certain kind of level of closeness, then this, God forbid, could happen. The Gemara says that even people on the level of Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara teaches, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, why is it? Wouldn't it be nice if every single din of the Torah, there should be a reason stated? Would it be much easier to follow the Torah if there are reasons? I think it was the Chutzke Rebbe who says Tamei Torah doesn't necessarily mean the reasons. He says Tamei. Tam in Hebrew also means taste. Give it a little taste. Tell me why. Something. Give me a Tam. Says the Gemara, Shayu Shnei Mikraot, Sharei Shnei Mikraot Nidgalu Ta'aman, Nichshal Bahem Gedol Ha'olam. Hear that language? Nichshal Bahem Gedol Ha'olam. The greatest person in the world, the Gedol Ha'olam, stumbled. And the Torah teaches that a king is not allowed to take many wives. Anybody know the reason? Lo yarbe lo nashim. Anybody know why? What's wrong with marrying many wives? So it says in the Torah, in Perek Yud Zayin of Devarim, in Parashat Shoftim, v'lo yasur levavo, because his heart will then be taken away from God. His wives will lead him away from God. So Shlomo says, Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech, the Nevi Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech, Vayachkam Yikol Adav, there's nobody smarter than Shlomo HaMelech. Amar Shlomo, Ani Arbeh, V'lo Asur. It won't happen to me. I'm above this concept. I'm above it. Yes, it's true for many kings. It's true for most kings. It's true for almost all the kings. Not for me. Vayachkam Yikol Adav, build the Beit HaMikdash. So we read very tearfully in the 11th parak of Melachim Aleph. And if you haven't read it recently, maybe you should read it. It's hard for me to read the words. I'll just read them quickly. It says there, Shlomo, of course, you know, married many wives. Nashim hitu et levavo, aharei Elohim aharim, ולא היה לבבו שלם מהשם לוקח כלבב דוד אביו. וילך שלמה אחרי השתורת אלוהי צידונים ואחרי מלכון שיקוץ עמונים, אז יבנה שלמה במה לחמוש שיקוץ מואב ולמולך שיקוץ בני עמון. The Gemara says it doesn't mean literally, it doesn't mean necessarily that he himself, that Shlomo HaMelech himself, was involved in, God forbid, you know, building temples for foreign gods. But whatever it means, maybe he overlooked his wives building these temples. Shlomo HaMelech, says the Gemara, yeah, even Shlomo HaMelech. And that's why Lo Nitgalut HaMei Torah. Because everyone will say, it doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. Yes, he has to be careful in how he talks to the woman sitting next to him in the office. He has to be cautious in the person that he's doing the research with. He has to be cautious in the hospital program that he's volunteering in. Because he doesn't understand. But I just got a whole year of study. I've been learning Torah 10 hours a day. You know, I study for 40 hours. Not me. So the Gemara says, yes, even Shlomo HaMelech. Gazaru, the Gemara teaches in the Masechet Avodah Zarah, Gazaru al pitan v'shamnan. There are certain levels of restriction on non-Jewish products. Mishum yeinan v'al yeinan mishum benotehen. Is it really so innocent to join that fraternity? Is it really? What do you think about going to that gathering, having a party tonight? A party. So I won't eat, let's say it's a kosher party. And there are many Jewish people on campus who are going to that party. At what point do you say, no, I can't. No, I can't. I respect non-Jews. I understand, but no, I can't break down this. I can't break down this barrier. At what point do you say that if I do, maybe, chas v'shalom, I'm violating that which it says in the book of Mishle, you know, in the sixth chapter of Mishle, sixth paragraph of Proverbs, we read, if you're interested, it's Pasuk of Zion, Pasuk of Het, of paragraph of, hayachte ish, eish b'cheiko. You've heard the English expression about playing with fire? I think this is where it comes from. I think this is the biblical source. I think. Hayachte ish eish b'cheiko? Could you be holding fire in your lap? You have fire in your... U'begadav lo tisarafna? And you think your clothes won't get burnt? U'begadav lo tisarafna? Im yehalech ish ala gehalim? Do you think you could just walk on burning coals? V'raglav lo tikavena, and your feet won't get scorched, your feet won't get burnt. There are many, many stories. Too many stories. One story would be too many. But I'm not talking about one or 10 or 100 or 1,000. I'm talking about very large numbers. V'chas v'shalom. I'll share two of my friends. Hashem should help them, should help all of us do tshuva today. I have a student. Wherever he is. I never ran an institution in my life because I'm not capable of doing such things. And one of the most difficult parts for anyone running an institution is criteria for accepting students. We have great rabbis. I don't know why they're listening to me. You know, I should stop this. Great rabbis sitting here. If you wanted ever a proof that I'm not wise, you don't need a lot of proof. But if you want a proof, it says in Pirkei Avot, one of the ways you can tell who's smart, who's not, is a chacham eino medaber b'fnei misha gadol mimenu b'chachma. Anyone who's a chacham doesn't talk in front of people who are greater than them. And if you find someone who does talk in front of people greater than them, so you know that they're not part of the chachma community. So let's say, you know, when you're running an institution, So you have criteria, right? I accept this person, I don't accept that person. This person is in, this person is out. These are dinei nefashot, which is like way beyond me. Baruch Hashem, I hope that the leaders of this holy yeshiva should always make the right decisions. The leaders of all the yeshiva, the leaders of all the institutions should always make the proper decisions of who to accept and who not to accept. It's something that's beyond my, it's beyond my capabilities. You know, I know of a case of someone who was rejected from a certain yeshiva high school in a different part of this world. He's a great guy. He was rejected because of his academic level. I don't want to minimize the importance of academic levels, but I think he was a great guy. He was 14 years old or something. He wanted to go to yeshiva high school. He wanted to go to a specific yeshiva high school. And he had started late in life, and his parents were very far away from Torah observance. And I knew him well. I even studied with him for his bar mitzvah, a celebration. He used to come to my parents' house even, in America, because his parents would go to work on Shabbat. He's such a holy Jew, this man. His name is Yehuda. I think it's okay to say his name, because there are many people named Yehuda in the world. If you meet any Yehuda, and if it's this, please, please bring him back to me. Bring him back to us. Bring him to Eretz Israel. Take him on the next plane. And just like, you know, just he's a very holy man. He used to, when somebody came over to me on a Sunday and says, you have a student named Yehuda? You know, he used another name in English, but whatever. He says, Yehuda, yeah. He says, maybe you should tell him that when he gets into a car on Saturdays, he should take off his yarmulke. You know, maybe he should be sitting in the car. You know, so I called him up. He said, what are you doing? He says, my parents forced me when they came home from work to go into the car. I said, I don't want to go into a car on Shabbat. I don't go into a car on Shabbat. But they're not going to take off my yarmulke. I said, okay. Well. Very holy man, Yehuda. He took a high school entrance exam. I'm not. Is it okay to tell the story? Is this minimizing the importance of high school entrance exams? Is it motzi laz on high schools? Is it okay to say this or not? What? I can rely upon you and whom?
We all finished high school, so it's okay.
But there are others that didn't. Is this hotzas laz? Well, no, I'm asking. I'm allowed to tell us. You know, nobody knows what school I'm talking about. But I'm just saying. That's why I say I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. So they had a test. They had an entrance exam, and you know, and he did very well in the general studies and the religious studies. He failed miserably, and they have standards, and they have, you know, this and that. You're not accepted. They sent him a rejection letter, and his heart was broken. You know, he really wanted to go there. So I called up the principal, and I said, "Listen, this man is he could be." Be one of the top rabbis of the world. He's 14 years old, right? I tell you. Like, what are you talking about? You know, I said, we'll get him a tutor. No, we have standards. We have to keep standards, and everybody knows we have to have standards. Somebody else called, and this and that. I said, go to, there are many other schools. I'm not saying it's only the school's fault. I mean, there are many schools, hundreds of schools. What are you going to this one? No, his friends are going there. He needs this. This is where he feels most comfortable. We had many, many, many people calling up the principal. And I don't want this Chas V'Shalom to be a kitrug on the principal. Wherever the principal and assistant principal are, they should be blessed. They've done many great things for Am Yisrael. I think it was a mistake, but so at the end, after several months, he was finally accepted. But at that point, he was so disgusted he didn't want to go to yeshiva high school anymore. So my student Yehuda went to a general high school, public high school. He used to come every week to shul. He used to come every week to the Beit Knesset. He used to sit right next to me. We used to spend Shabbat together. He sat right next to me. We used to learn together. We used to daven together. We used to eat together. And then slowly he started dropping out of Shabbat attendance. But he was a very, very holy Jew, Yehuda. He still is a holy Jew wherever he is. I can't come. I have tests. I have this. I have that. And eventually he just stopped coming to Beit Knesset. When he was a junior in high school, he got involved with a Catholic girl in his high school class. She got pregnant, and her father, her mother, insisted that they get married. And my student Yehuda, it's a true story, and I'm not exaggerating any of the details. Drama is not one of my issues. Yehuda got married in the church on Saturday morning to this girl from his high school class. And whenever I tell the story, I always think, like, you know, why does it bother me with Saturday morning? You know, I mean, let's say it would be Sunday morning. Because we spent Shabbat. We used to spend Shabbat together all the time. I spent so many Shabbatot with Yehuda. And they got married in church. Now believe me, the passion that Yehuda had for Torah, the passion Yehuda has somewhere in his heart. I tried to contact him many times, but maybe you'll meet him somewhere. Hayachte ish esh b'cheiko uv'gadav lo tisarafna im yahalech ish al hagehalim v'raglav lo tikavena. Be careful. I have a friend who graduated a very, very distinguished yeshiva high school. He comes from a very, very Torah-sensitive family, very highly Torah-observant family. And he was teaching in a public school. And he was teaching third grade. He had a degree from the advanced degree in education. He had a degree in teaching. He wasn't married at the time. There were parallel classes. He was teaching one third grade class. And there was another third grade class right next to him. And when I would speak to him, how's it going? He would always tell me about the other third grade teacher. Her name is Mary. Mary's not Jewish. And I would say, you know, you have to be careful. I remember how he said, he said to me many times, he says, Mordechai, that's so insulting. That's so insulting. What do you mean I have to be careful? You think I would ever have anything to do with that? With a non-Jewish woman. I said, I'm just telling you what I learned. He said, that's very insulting. You know, you shouldn't talk that way to someone. I said, I'm a friend. I love you. Just saying, be careful. And he was so impressed with Mary. And he would come with stories about how Mary is the greatest teacher and Mary is a dynamic teacher and, you know. And I kept saying, be careful. Be careful. Mary is not married. You're not. He says, and every time he would say it, he would cringe, you know. And then once he told me he's meeting Mary on a Saturday night. Saturday night? Yeah, but they're not meeting for social reasons. There's a school trip that week in the public school, and they have to plan the details of the school excursion. He said, Saturday night? He says, Mordechai, do you think I would ever date? Think I would ever date a non-Jew? And it went from one stage to another. It got to the point where they started living together, at which point he couldn't deny anymore that it was just a platonic relationship based on third grade curriculum. So he then went to the level of saying, no, it's not a real connection, it's just physical, it's just a physical attraction. And he too got married to this woman. I hope this is not too harsh to talk about. Each person has to find the guidelines for whatever environment he finds himself in. Bezrat Hashem, you should live at least the life of Methuselah, you know, at least to 969. You have a long life ahead of you. So for the next hundreds and hundreds of years, Bezrat Hashem, you're going to meet many, many, many people in so many different contexts, in so many different ways. Business partners, customers, merchants, leaders, program directors, professors, students, colleagues. And you have to make decisions. And you have to make decisions about guidelines of where you stop and how you make sure that you're protecting yourself when you go into these environments. If I may, you have great rabbanim here in the yeshiva. You have great spiritual leaders. You have great Rosh Yeshiva. You have great Mashgiach Ruchani. You have great Menahel Ruchani. You have great Mashpi'im. Maybe every time you take a step, a significant step, maybe you should do so with them. Maybe you should walk into your university class, you know, with one Rav spiritually on one side of you and the other Rav on the other side of you. Maybe you should maintain a relationship, a real ongoing, a real relationship, not Shabbat Shalom, not Shana Tova, but I mean really to discuss issues, because this doesn't happen overnight. It's not something you go from a level of sitting in the Beit Midrash 10 hours a day, and the next day, you know, you're involved. It's a complicated process. There's a story in the Gemara about Eish. There's a story in the Gemara about a Hasid, a great Hasid. He's called. There's someone in the Gemara called Rav Amram. And then there's someone in the Gemara called Rav Amram Hasida. Is it the same, or is it two different people? Is it a discussion? There is someone called Rav, you've studied about it, Rav Amram Hasida. Not many people call it Hasida, Rav Amram the Hasid. We're talking about a person who's on a very high level of Hasidut, of Hasid is Lefnim Mishurat Adin. And the Gemara says that there were two women who were taken into captivity, and Baruch Hashem were free. And they didn't know where they could put them temporarily, which house should they house them in until they get everything settled. So they thought the safest place in the world for them would be the home of Rav Amram Hasida. What could be greater, Rav Amram Hasida? And so they take these two women to the home of Rav Amram Hasida. And the way the attic apartments used to be, today I think all attic apartments, there are steps going up to the attic. But in all the ancient texts, especially in the Gemara, I always read about movable ladders that you climb up to the attic. You know what I'm talking about? You've come across this concept? Yes? Remember the story? There's a story in the Yerushalmi about, I think, Rabbi Gamliel, that he had these two people visiting with him, and he respected them, and he gave them the highest, the greatest, the most lush. We studied that in one of our classes. Did we study it? He gave them the best provisions and the most sumptuous meal, and he sets them up in the attic apartment for their lodging overnight. And these two people were criminals. Two people were criminals. And as soon as Rabbi Gamliel, you know, went to sleep, they pack up all of the movable items from the attic. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. He was very, very, very wealthy. And they're ready to, you know, to climb down and to run out of the house. The only problem is that before Rabbi Gamliel went to sleep, he pushed the ladder completely away from the attic. There was absolutely no way for them to climb down. They couldn't jump down. So they didn't know what to do. So they went back to sleep. You know, they waited until the next morning. And then he puts back the ladder. You know, good morning. You know, he welcomes them to breakfast. So they say to him something like, could you explain something? I mean, your behavior is so odd. You know, on the one hand, you honored us such a great... Why didn't you move those steps away? And we have something to admit to you. Maybe you don't know, you know, but we're not exactly on the highest level of, you know, of scrupulous behavior. You know, we were planning some kind of heist, and how'd you know to move the steps away? You know? And if you move the steps away, how come you honored us to such an extent? And Rav Gamliel teaches them something about Kabidehu, Vahashidehu, that we have an ongoing tradition that you're supposed to honor people, but you're also supposed to suspect people. You know? So they move the steps away. Rav Amram Hasida. We have to end. We're supposed to end 10-2. I hope it's okay. We'll just conclude then. Rav Amram Hasida. Kiddushin Pei Aleph. Amud Aleph. Please look it up if you're interested. Look it up. Masechet Kiddushin Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Amram Hasida, the two women who are freed from captivity are staying in the attic apartment of Rav Amram Hasida. And of course, he moves away the steps so there should be no connection between him and the women in the attic. All the ladders are removed. But then as he's walking by and he looks up, the beauty of one of the women just somehow enthralls him. He's somehow mesmerized by the beauty of one of these women. And Rav Amram Chasida, says the Gemara, Shaklei Rav Amra Ladarga. He moves very, very heavy ladders. It wasn't like a movable ladder that you put up to paint the ceiling. These were like movable steps, I guess, you know, like, and you needed, I don't know if it's a guzma, you can ask people who understand Gemara more than me. It says in the Gemara, these steps were so heavy, you needed 10 people to move the steps. But Rav Amram's passion was so great, he moved it himself. And he starts climbing up. He starts climbing up to for the purpose of the opposite of righteousness, to connect to these women, or to connect to one of these women. And he realizes what he's doing. And as he's in the middle of climbing up the ladders, he realizes, what is he doing? He's headed for sin. So he starts screaming, fire! Fire! Eish! Nuah! He starts screaming, Nuah be'Amram! There's a fire! Amram's house is on fire! Fire! And all the neighbors come running in. Amram's house is on fire. And the rabbi is coming running. You know, Rav Amram's house is on fire. There's no fire. And then they see him like hanging there in the middle of the, what are you talking about? And they say to him, you've embarrassed us. Don't you understand that now everybody understands? So he says, no, it's really a fire. That's what we're talking about, this fire of passion. This fire of temptation. Amar lehu mutav. It is much better that in this world there should be some level of embarrassment rather than a level of embarrassment in the world to come. Bezrat Hashem, for whatever level my bracha is worth, I give you my deepest bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guard you and protect you. And Bezrat Hashem, Ki malachav yitzavelach, l'shmarcha b'chol drachecha, Adonai yishmar, tzeitacha v'voecha me'ata v'ad olam. May you find that delicate, strike that delicate balance between the highest level of regard for the non-Jewish world, at the same time sensitivity of a protective layer, making sure that you never violate any of the major principles of our tradition. Thank you so much. Thank you.